morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh, not bad, not bad. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, you glad to be in the house of the Lord here today?
Yes.
Yeah, I tell you what, well, we found out that you love the Lord here today because you are here in church on what is typically one of the least attended Sundays of all of the church year, the Labor Day Sunday and also Memorial Day Sunday, the beginning of the summer and the end of the summer. But my goodness, praise the Lord, we got a full house today. And so we found out that the Lord is more important to you than the cheeseburger, more important to you than the mac salad or the potato salad, amen. That before we have, you know, picnic fun and all that, this weekend you came to honor God, so glory to the Lord. Again, we just welcome all of our first-time guests. If you're visiting Family Church for the first time, we're just so glad to have you here. You know, it's an honor to have new faces with us all the time. And for those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here, and we know that the Lord has a good plan for your life. He tells us over there in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans not to harm you."
Amen.
I love how God made sure to get that in there, because so many times we have this idea that he's authoring our troubles in our life. He says, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future.
Amen.
So God's plan for our life is good, but that good plan does not happen automatically. We got to find out what that plan is. We got to get into that plan. And that doesn't mean that our lives won't be tested. Doesn't mean that trials won't come. We know that they do. But we have the answer right here. Amen. And so our goal here at Family Church is to put the Bible first. If the Bible says it, we want to do it. We don't want to add to it. We don't want to take anything away. We're not shy to preach the challenging parts of the Bible. We just welcome the full message, right? Amen. If it says it in here thoroughly, then we want to live it. Praise the Lord. But we just welcome everybody that's visiting for the first time. Church, remember, whose job is it to make sure that our visiting guests feel warm and welcome? That's all of our job, right? Amen. And if you're visiting Family Church and maybe we seem like maybe more of a vocal group than you're used to, or maybe you're not used to the lifting of hands and the shouting of praises, well, welcome to church while everyone participates. You know, so many times we think, well, the only one doing the talking is the preacher. No, the Bible gives us several instances where we're all supposed to praise, right? We know over there, Psalm 67, verse 5, it says, "Let the people praise thee, O Lord. Let all the people praise thee. Then the earth will yield her increase." See, what is that verse saying? That the earth is ready to yield her increase when everybody participates, right? We remember Acts chapter 2. It says, "They were all in one place and all one accord," right? Acts chapter 4, it says, "And they all lifted up their voice unto God." And so it's not just my job. That's all of our jobs, to participate in church. And sometimes it seems weird or different to visiting folks, but just know this, it's the Bible. And we don't change the message, right? Amen. The word changes us. Glory to God. You ready for the word here today? Yeah, well, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8. And if you are visiting today, you picked a humdinger. Because we're going to have some heart surgery today, which isn't anything new around here. How many of you know it's not about what tickles your ears that's going to change your life? It's about the word that comes in and performs surgery on your heart. And I'm going to call this message this morning, "It's Not About You." Oh, not implying that it's about me. Because we're all in this boat. It's not about you, right? It's not about me. It's not about you. And we're going to talk about this. You know, I've noticed, you know, not that I have a ton of experience, but 10 years now of full-time pastoring. And I've seen different times in any local church where, you know, there starts to become, you know, little ebbs and flows of strife for people that start, you know, fighting with each other or not getting along and stuff like that. And, of course, how many of you Don't raise your hands because you might just have family here today. But how many of you ever see that in a natural family, right? That how many of you know that the longer you are around people, conflict is imminent, right? It can happen in a church. It can happen in a home. It can happen in a business. But how many of you know that if you're in contention with somebody, it's because you're in pride? Oh, you know, selfishness is the destruction of anything that God put together. Selfishness is the destruction of anything that God designed. Selfishness is the destruction of marriages. Selfishness is the destruction of churches. Selfishness is the destruction of businesses. Selfishness is the destruction of economies. Selfishness is the destruction of entire nations. You know, somewhere, somebody got selfish, and they thought that everything in life was about them, you know? And I tell you what, it's not about you. Listen, even against, you know, some of the popular beliefs of even some of our most well-known, you know, Christian pastors in our nation, you know, that are publishing books about it's about you. And I just want to go and take it off the shelf and say, no, I want to scribble a big word not on there. It's not about you. That's the problem with this country. We have too many people with too many attitudes thinking that it's about them. Oh, come on now. If your marriage is struggling, let me just tell you, somewhere selfishness has gotten in there. And some of you are sitting there thinking, I know, it's all his fault or all her fault. I know, she's always selfish. You just discovered that you stink of pride. Listen, if you always say, well, it was someone else's fault, then you stink of pride. Ooh, ouch, here we go. Oh, my goodness, I was having such a good holiday weekend. And then I came to church. Well, listen, when you learn what God says about pride, it will become one of your number one objectives in life to make sure you don't have any. Yes. Let's go over here to Proverbs 8, and we're going down to verse 13, one of my favorite verses. How many of you know that the Bible says what it means what it says? There's no way you can twist this verse. No way you're going to interpret this a different way. You know, I love when people say, well, the Bible's up for interpretation. You know who says that? People that don't do their homework. No, Jesus said the truth will be established through two or three witnesses. If you find two or three verses that are saying the same thing, it's truth. Well, I interpret it different. Yeah, because you want to interpret it in a way that will benefit your feelings. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 13, aren't you glad you don't have to do what I have to do today? You don't have to deal with the stink eye, the hairy eyeball, the laser eye beams, the gritting teeth, the red faces, people walking out on you. You know what? I'm accustomed to it now, and that's fine. Because you know what? I'm not trying to hide behind anything, but you know what? It's just the Word. Either you can do the Bible or not. You know, and if you're not somebody that doesn't want to challenge your character, you're never going to go any higher. Exactly. Listen, with God, character is everything. Character is everything. And this is going to be some character surgery today. Not just for you, for me. I mean, listen, I need to hear what I'm preaching. So I'm not exempt. So let's go to Proverbs 8:13. It says, the fear of the Lord. The word fear there does not mean to be scared. The word fear there means reverence, honor, and worship. Okay, just so you know, I'm reading out of the King James Bible. It was published in 1611. Praise the Lord, you know. Maybe some of you remember 1611. No, but we know that, you know, the word fear there is not talking about being scared or startled. It means the worship, the praise, or the reverence of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. That's what the Lord's saying. All right. Well, let's break this down. The worship of the Lord is to hate evil. You know, that's still true today. That's still true. unbeknownst to the grace message that is trying to float around there, you know, as if to give this idea that God no longer hates evil. Do you know that God still hates evil? Do you know that if you're going to worship God, here's the first thing that you need to know. You got to shun evil in your life.
Amen.
I didn't say shun the evil in someone else's life. I'm not talking about judging someone else. I mean taking responsibility for the evil in your life and shunning that and hating it.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Now, if you watch a lot of Christian TV, which I don't necessarily recommend, which is odd for a pastor to say, but, I mean, there's a lot of messages out there saying, well, God is accepting of it. You're under grace. It doesn't matter. Yeah, we're under grace, but we're not under the grace that accepts evil. We're under the grace that lives above and beyond evil. And so the first step of following the Lord or having true, sincere worship is to just hate evil. Just meaning not hate people. All right? Can you make a contrast, make a difference? All right? That you shun evil. Not shunning people, but you shun the evil in your life. I'll tell you what, when I got saved, there was a lot of things that I had to face that I knew were evil. Listen, I knew drugs were evil. I had to get that out of my life. I knew drinking alcohol was evil. I had to shun that. I knew that there were certain relationships that were not God-honoring in my life. I had to shun that, not shun the person, right?
That's right?
You know, I knew that there was entertainment that I no longer was acceptable as a temple and a vessel of the Holy Spirit. I knew that there was just things that I was going to have to turn away from in order to worship God,
right.
You know? And we think that worshiping God is a Sunday activity. No, it is a everyday activity. And so now we say the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And so the context of this verse is to talk about what God deems evil. And the first thing he says is pride. Notice he didn't ask us to try to find out what what evil things are going on. You know, he didn't ask us the first thing that we do is to go find out who is doing what. You know, he didn't ask us what evil the politicians are up to. He didn't ask us what evils, you know, are going on in society. The first thing that God says is that you need to turn on yourself and shun the pride in your life.
Right. That's right.
Pride is what God calls evil. It's evil. Things that you would think are evil, you know, instantly we think of murder and we might think of rape and we think of, atrocious things that are just pure evil. But God says pride is evil.
Yes.
The Bible says, do you know where Satan came from? Satan was a cherub angel by the name of Lucifer.
That's right.
Right? And it says because of the pride of his countenance, he fell, meaning that he was once Lucifer, a holy angel of God, and when he entered into pride, Satan came into existence, right? You could say it this way, pride changed his whole existence, made him something that he wasn't supposed to be. Come on. Pride is very evil. And so if you're going to worship God, you're going to have to deal with pride. Now, I'm going to give you some examples or a definition of what pride is. Are you ready? In case you don't know. And the fact, like, if we don't know what pride is, it's because we probably have too much of it.
Yeah.
Here's some of the definitions I looked up, you know, in dictionaries and so on, concordances, studied the meaning in the word and so on. One of my favorites is right here, pride means self-important. Self-important. Or you could reverse that wording and say important to self.
Sure.
The problem with people is that we think that we are more important than we really are to ourselves.
Sure.
Now, I'm not talking about the importance of, you know, responsibility. Listen, if you're a parent, you're important to your children.
Yeah.
You have responsibility there. If you work for a company, you're important to your employer.
Right.
right, in performing those tasks. You know, you're important in the flow of this service. You know, I have a role. I have responsibilities that make that important. Okay, I'm not talking about being responsible. I'm talking about when you have an overinflated self-importance. All right? Pride is simply this: when people violate your expectations. When pride, right, is when somebody violates what you expected of them. The problem with your relationships is that you expected something they couldn't deliver. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, we'll get into that. Pride means to render a high opinion of yourself. In your opinion, you are the most important person here today. Yeah, we're all going, ooh, oh, man, we're shaking our head. Oh, you know you're guilty of it at times. I'm guilty of it at times. Yeah, you have a high opinion of yourself. Pride means to draw attention to yourself on purpose. Oh, man, you want to be seen. You got to be heard. Your opinions must be known. Pride. Pride is just simply this: any form of selfishness. Selfishness. And again, selfishness is killing marriages, is killing relationships, it's hurting churches, it's hurting businesses, it's hurting homes, it's hurting kids. Come on, selfishness. Listen, before we go any further in this message, take a moment in your heart to turn on the correction button. You know what I mean? If you're sitting here and you're going through a thought of, oh my goodness, I don't want to hear this, you better put that down right now. And you right now better say, Lord, correct me, because I know somewhere, somehow, I've got pride.
Yeah, come on.
All right? So just open up your heart right now and say, Lord, show me any evil way that be in me.
That's right.
Lead me in the way everlasting. Because this is going to deal with most, if not every single person in here in some degree. Your toes are going to get stepped on. Oh, but Pastor, we just came to church to hear a little three-point poem. You know, I could have read off a Hallmark card. You know, we could have all stood up and we could have swayed back and forth and held hands and, you know. You know, no training wheels here. No training wheels here. One of our church members said that, and that's absolutely true. No training wheels here. Oh, I just want it comfortable. Well, listen, I'll tell you what's going to bless your life: when you get your character in line with God's character. All right. Any form of selfishness, bringing attention to yourself on purpose, self-important, high opinion of yourself. Yep. Having expectations for people, and they will violate them. Pride. All right, we're going to play a little game here this morning. All right, yeah, we're just going to do things a little differently. And we're going to call this game, You Know You Have Pride If, and then I'm going to fill in the blanks. Yeah, oh, come on now. You Know You Have Pride If, and of course, I'm going to break out the fill in the blank portion, and everyone's going to go, ooh. All right. And I have several things here today that you know you have pride if. I'll probably even think of some more as we get going here that I don't have in my notes. Are you ready? All right. We'll all get convicted now. Woo! Number one, you know you have pride if you say you don't have any pride. Number one form of pride is that you think that this message isn't for you. All right, those are the people that have the most pride. And like Pastor Michael says, if you say you don't have any, you reek of it. All right, so what is that? What is that? That is an unwillingness to be corrected. Listen, I'm telling you, so many of your issues in life, your marital issues, conflicts with friends or family, relationships with your employer would greatly and vastly be improved if you would learn the three most important words on this planet, okay? Some of you are thinking, I love you. No, they're not. They're up there. But if you would learn the three most important words, if you'd learn to say this at the right time, I am wrong. Listen, the greatest character are those that can learn to admit their own mistakes. When is the last time you've gone to your spouse and said, I'm wrong? Listen, especially for you married folk, if you don't know how to say, I am wrong, even when you are completely right. Even when, Justin, that was not the right place for an amen. That was an amen foul. That was pride. Amen foul all day long. You don't amen there. Husbands, just realize this. Get this now. You are never right. You're never right. Even when you're right, you're not right. Even when every fact in the world backs you up, you're wrong. Yeah, see my wife, amen, but that's not an amen foul. That was the perfect opportunity to amen. That was humility in action right there. You would think it was just like what Justin did, except he was wrong and my wife was right. And you know what that means? It means I keep the peace in my home.
Amen.
Yeah. Yep. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know? And so if you say you don't have pride, listen, if you don't learn to say, I'm wrong, you know, of course we joke around about it. Men, you will be saying that more than women. I'm just warning you right now. But you need to learn to say that. I was wrong.
Yeah. Amen.
I was wrong. I made a mistake. Please forgive me.
Yeah, good.
I'll tell you what, if you don't say those words on a regular basis, you have pride and you lack humility. Come on now, I'm wrong. When's the last time you looked at somebody and said, I'm wrong?
Right.
I was wrong about that.
Amen.
We joke around about it, but I'll tell you what, it's serious. We do need to say, I'm wrong. All right. Well, let's continue with our little game here. All right, let's get to the second one. You know you have pride if you are in contention with people. Oh, come on. Right now, everybody, because I know there's probably plenty of them in here, is there somebody in your life that you are in contention with? All right? Meaning you have an argument going on with them. You're purposely not talking to them. You're avoiding them. You know, you're in contention. You're in a debate with them. Come on, you're in a fight. Oh, come on. And of course, this is really going to apply to a lot of marriage situations, but just any relationship. The relationship with your local church, the relationship with your employer, you know, your relationship with family, friends. Listen, if there's someone in your life that you can't talk to, or let's say it this way, there's someone in your life you won't talk to, come on now, don't let me see your raise. Don't lift your hand now. Just keep amening and smiling and we'll never know it's you. You know, but if there's someone right now, like literally think in your heart, who is the person that I can approach with confidence? Who's the person that if you see on the other end of the grocery aisle that you turn and go the other way? If there's someone in life that you dread seeing because there's a contention between you, let me tell you what, you're in pride. No, Pastor, I'm not prideful. They're the one that did this to me. There you go again. I can smell the pride from here. Let me show you how you're in pride. You're in the book of Proverbs, right there. Go to chapter 13, just a few pages over. Proverbs 13, 10. Hallelujah. This says it. This says it point blank. No interpretation needed. Proverbs 13, 10 says, only. Here's the one and only reason why fights, arguments, contentions, and strife, this is why they happen. Only by pride cometh contention. What, did you hear how quiet it is in here? The holy hush. The holy hush. God dealing with people's hearts. So I can't stand this person at work. I just don't, you know, I purposely don't talk to them. We got in an argument. We're avoiding each other. Or maybe you're, my wife and I, we got in a fight. And I don't want to talk to her. I'm going to give her the silent treatment. Pride. But we're arguing right now. We haven't talked for days. And he's slamming doors. And she's slamming doors. Pride. I won't talk to her. She won't talk to me. Pride. I speak to her. If I do have to say something, I'm short and I'm abrupt and I'm snotty and I'm sharp. Pride.
Good word, Pastor.
God calls pride evil.
That's right.
Evil. It's the first thing that you're going to do if you're going to worship God. Oh, pride. Yep. What does it say? Only by pride comes fighting, arguments. You know you are in pride if you're in a fight with somebody. Go to Proverbs 28. Don't you just love the book of Proverbs? I know I do. It's my favorite book of the Old Testament, if not the entire Bible. Proverbs 28 in verse 25. Here we go. Here's why you started that fight. Or here's why you allowed that fight to continue. Listen, maybe you didn't start it, but maybe you jumped into it. You don't have to be the starter. Right? 28:25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Oh my goodness, I don't want to trust God then. How many of you know that 16:11 language again? It's not talking about physically fat, it's talking about well supplied. So look at this. He's comparing a proud heart to trusting the Lord. The two cannot exist at the same time. If you're in pride, you cannot be in faith.
That's right. Good.
If you're in a fight with your spouse, guess what? You cannot be in faith. If there's somebody on this earth you just won't talk to, you can't be in faith. Why? Because a proud heart stirs up an argument or allows it to continue. And that's the opposite of trusting in the Lord. Notice, though, but also it's talking about being made fat.
Yeah.
We're not talking about calorie fat. We are talking about a full provision of God,
right,
meaning all of your needs provided. Notice that pride is a provision hindrance. Every time you go ahead and get in a fight with your spouse, ask yourself, what's it going to cost you? Because it's going to cost you something.
Yes.
You know, you better ask yourself, can I afford this argument I'm having with my wife? You know, so many men are so money-minded and get so weirded out about how much everything costs. But yet they don't think about what that argument's going to cost. Why? He that's of a proud heart stirs up strife. And if you stir up strife, doesn't the Bible say over there in James 3:16, doesn't it say that where there's envy and strife, right, there is confusion and every evil work?
That's right.
Listen, strife and fighting destroys the peace of the home. God cannot move in an atmosphere like that.
Good word.
He can't live in an atmosphere where you're always fighting with somebody.
Right, good, Pastor. That's right.
Listen, even if you are on the right side, you better go and just seek forgiveness.
Yeah, amen.
You better seek humility. We could add this one. You know that you are in pride if you always got a bone to pick with somebody. Do you know people like that? Have you been a person like that? You always got to give somebody your 2 cents because everyone's wrong in you. Well, guess what? As long as there's flesh on this earth and a devil to tempt it, someone's always going to be wrong in you somehow. Someone's always going to have a negative opinion of you. But if you didn't love you so much, it wouldn't matter so much. If you weren't so important to you, you would stop caring about what people think of you. Listen, ministry cured that in me in a lot of ways, not all the way. Listen, I realized after, you know, I still to this day, you know, and of course got many, many years ago here, but you can't be in effective ministry if you can't handle negative opinions of you. People have written things about me in the paper. They have posted it all over the internet. I don't care. I hear what so-and-so says. You know what I mean? I don't care because I don't live off it. I don't got to respond to them. Someone said something about me on Facebook. Pride. You got to respond. You got to defend your little feelings. Got to defend myself. Got to shoot back. Why do you care? Jesus, before his executioners, was silent. They called him an unrighteous man. They called him a thief. They called him everything he wasn't.
That's right.
Right? Here he was there to redeem his accusers.
Yes.
Right? And it says, as a lamb is dumb or silent before his shearers.
That's right.
Right? He said nothing. Listen, you know you have pride if you have to defend your feelings. If you've always got a bone to pick with somebody, you stink of pride. If you can't let something go, well, so-and-so said this about me. I just can't let that go. I can't just let that go. Who cares what they said about you?
Yeah.
The Bible says in Proverbs 29, it says, the fear of man brings a trap or a snare.
Yeah.
Why do you care about their opinion so much?
Right.
The only opinion you need to care about is what your Heavenly Father thinks of you. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I got a bone to pick with somebody. You don't know what they've done. You don't know how they've hurt me. Listen, maybe they did hurt you. Maybe what they did was extremely wrong. But listen, you better take the high road. You better take God's road and forgive them and learn to let that go.
Amen.
Don't sit and play rock-a-bye baby with your victimhood. Our society today is trying to make a victim out of everybody. Trying to stir everybody up in division. Trying to victimize everybody. Whether trying to victimize race, trying to victimize gender, trying to victimize poverty, trying to victimize everybody. Well, everything in life just isn't perfect for you, so you're a victim. What they're trying to do is they're stirring up pride. Come on. We need to get a hold of that. Praise God. Yep. Praise the Lord. He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife. Or you could say it this way, since we already quoted James 3:16, in that where there's strife, there's every evil work. He that is in pride stirs up every evil work.
Yeah.
Is sickness an evil work? Yeah. That doesn't mean the person who gets sick is evil. We've all been there where our bodies have been tempted or tried and symptoms have tried to come on our bodies or try to hurt our kids or whatever. And the Bible says that sickness is not of God.
Right.
You know, it tries to hurt. The Bible says over there in Luke chapter 13, it says literally says a demon of sickness was attached to a woman.
That's right, sure.
So that sickness was a matter of a demon, not a matter of God. And so it's an evil work.
Yes.
Poverty, lack. Yes. Listen, I was in the third world poverty of Brazil. And let me tell you what. Poverty is not a God thing. I've never seen people so more oppressed by poverty in my life, you know, and I'm just sitting there knowing God has an answer. God has an answer. Wherever the gospel goes, the conditions of life will improve.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. If you look at the civilization all throughout history, every form of civilization as we know it is because the gospel went there first.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, that really went over well. He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife. Got a bone to pick. Got to share your opinion. You know, I tell you what, when people say, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, that's exactly what you are giving them. You thought you were there to give them a P-I-E-C-E piece of your mind, but you really gave away or lost the P-E-A-C-E piece of your mind. Spelling there was coming through. Praise the Lord. You lost your peace because you had to tell them off. Had to stir something up. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. Let's go on to the third thing that I've listed here, although I've listed a few in between. You know you have pride if your feelings are hurt. Ooh. Do you know what hurt feelings are? They're a hurt ego.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Somebody said something to you that violated your opinion of yourself.
Yeah.
You know why it hurt? Because you thought more highly of yourself than what they said.
Yeah, sure. That's exactly right.
Because honestly, what does it matter what they say to you?
Right.
What does it matter? Tell me you hate me. I don't care. I'm going to still serve God.
That's it. Right?
Tell me I'm the devil. People have.
Yeah.
You remember, many of you remember the story. I had a daily heckler for 2 years. A daily heckler. And this person, I found out it was a man, and this person would send me emails every single day. And at first, many of them were half written in Latin. And then they would be translated underneath into English. I'm like, well, I'm glad he translated it for me, because I'm not a Latin scholar. I'm not planning on being one. And, you know, I mean, some of the things, it became extremely entertaining after a little while. And some people say, well, why didn't you just change your email address or something? Well, honestly, I kind of started to enjoy it half the time. But I would give messages every day. You are a false Christ, written in Latin first, of course. You are a false Christ, the seed of Lucifer, and all this stuff. One time I was walking out of the church, Pastor Brad, you'll remember this. I was shaking hands at the back door. It was actually when we were in our former building. And this gentleman came up to me. I was shaking hands, put out his hand. I shook it, and he just pulled me into himself. He got right in my ear, and with the most sinister Hollywood voice that he could muster, he said, "You are Satan." I just pushed him off. I said, well, then you are out of here. And you know what? Guess what? I had forgotten about it by lunchtime.
Yeah, right.
You are Satan. I said, no, actually, I think you're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, you go.
I mean, honestly, you know. You know. And so what are you going to do when your feelings get hurt? What are you going to do? Because your emotions and everything are welling up in you trying to puff you up.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, that just hurt. Listen, what are you going to do when someone who's supposed to love you the most says one of the most hurtful things to you? What are you going to do? I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to love them like God.
Yes. Good.
You're just going to love them like God. You're gonna do the word when Jesus said over there in Matthew 5, blessed are you when you are reviled for my name's sake.
Yes.
You know, right? Do not return evil for evil, but blessing, right? The Bible tells us, you know, your feelings will want retaliation. You know what those feelings are? They're a motivation to retaliate. Someone hurt your feelings, it's time to shoot back. You know what that is? That is just your pride is hurt. Oh, someone's opinion didn't think so highly of you that you thought of yourself. Oh, man. See, you know, you're laughing. Well, no, you're not. But maybe I'm laughing a little bit up here because I've gone through it a lot. I've gone through it. I mean, I can't tell you. Folks, do you realize that in the 10 years or more that this church has been on this property, do you realize we have had 4,500 different people through our doors?
Yeah, I believe.
4,500 different individuals that have at least one time that we know of that actually filled out a card,
sure,
sat in these seats. That's more than 1% of the entire population of this area,
yeah,
Southern Chautauqua County, have sat in these seats at one time for a worship service, okay? And then a major percentage of them, you know, had at least come back for a while. And I can't tell you how many times we had people that were in this church for years, people that, you know, I was there for in terms of whether weddings or funerals or when they were on hard times, you all, you know, helped them and the church leadership helped them and whatever. And then all of a sudden in a day, because I preached one convicting message like I'm doing today, right? One message that they didn't want to hear, and all of a sudden I became a false pastor, a fake, a phony, because something didn't tickle their ears just right. You know, I've gotten letters from people that have been in our church for 5 years, all of a sudden just sending me a letter saying, you've gotten off and you have no love and you have no care and you have this and you have that. How that has happened. And the temptation for my feelings to be hurt,
right,
when you have tried and strived so hard to just be there for people and then you get thrown under the bus. You've been like, maybe you've been in a situation like that in your family or your job or wherever. It's not exclusive to pastors. I'm not trying to say that. But what are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and live off hurt feelings? What are you going to do? Retaliate?
No,
you're not. You better learn to, you know, not live on hurt feelings. Because hurt feelings is hurt pride.
That's right. Sure.
And if you retaliate and you got to throw something back and defend your feelings, it's because you're in pride. Oh, praise the Lord. Some of you start looking at your watch, looking back at the clock. Don't do that. I'll go longer. Oh, your reaction will determine your pride level.
Oh, yes.
You ever want to find out how you have pride? What do you do when someone insults you? Do you know what offense is? Offense is the byproduct of pride.
Yeah, that's good.
Who are you offended at? Some of you are like, you right now. Well, like I already told you, I don't care. Get in line.
Yeah.
I care about you, but I don't care about when people get offended at me. I've decided, oh my goodness, I see pastors, I know pastors that are just running around trying to keep everybody happy all the time because people get offended at them. Listen, it's just part of it. Honestly, and it's not even just part of pastoring, it's part of living faithfully for God. You're going to offend somebody somewhere, you know, and it's just the byproduct of pride. That's all it is. Who are you offended at right now? If so, if there's instantly a name in your heart, you have just discovered evil in your life. You have just discovered a hindrance to God's blessings. You have discovered a hindrance to His provision. Don't bother tithing if you're in pride. Ain't going to work for you. Keep it. You're going to need it. You're going to need it more than God is going to need it if you're in pride. Come on now. Oh, my goodness, that pastor down there told me I don't have to tithe anymore. Woo! It's not what I said. I said if you're in pride, you can obey God everywhere else. But if you're full of pride, that's why it's not working. I tell you what, before we had the big picnic tonight, I can't wait to see you all there.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to show up and no one's going to be saying anything to anybody.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be silent.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's not what we're talking about. You know, we're just talking. Listen, you're going to go home, and I'll tell you what, between now and the picnic, it'd be a good idea. If it's your spouse, if it's your, I don't know who, you know, someone in your family, you need to make a phone call.
Yeah,
phone
right.
A friend. I don't know. Call them and get it right.
Get it right. Amen.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Let's go on here. Okay. And this is something we've kind of already said. You know you have pride if you don't like to be corrected. Listen, the most godly people that will ever be on this planet are the people that invite correction. I am so glad I have a pastor and other people in my life that when they see something in my life that could hurt me, I am so glad they've corrected me.
Amen.
I am so glad I've been corrected. I don't think we have to say too much more besides that. I mean, we should love correction.
Amen.
You know, and when you don't want to be corrected, then you're a lone ranger. You're a lone ranger. You're not accountable to anybody but yourself. There you go again. It's not about you. It's not about you. Praise God. Here you go. You ready for this? Oh, now we're going to get a little specific. Woo, here we go. My goodness. You know you have pride if you don't think you get paid enough. And everyone just had chills run down their back. Because we're in America. We don't think we ever get paid enough. Nothing wrong with wanting to be paid more, meaning nothing wrong with having that desire. You know what I mean? Nothing wrong with God promotes and God blesses and God increases, and that's, you know, that's the promises of God, right? Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich.
That's right.
He has no sorrow
with
it. So God's obviously not against prospering us. Bible says over there, we know Psalm 1:3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who shall bring forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper.
That's right.
Right? Psalm 35:27, let them shout for joy and be glad, them that favor my righteous cause, let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Right? Psalm 37:25, I've been young and now old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
That's right.
Right? Deuteronomy 8:18, it is me, God says, that has given you power to get wealth, that I may establish my covenant with you as I did with your forefathers.
Yes.
God says, it's me that gives you power to get wealth.
That's
the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord gives us power to get wealth. And so, God is not against us prospering. It's when we start vocalizing our displeasure with how we're being paid. Do you know why? Because that's the opposite of contentment.
You're right.
The ones that God will see to it that are paid more are the ones who don't complain about where they are at. We know, the Bible says over there in Hebrews 13:5, it tells us to be content where you are at. That doesn't mean you can't desire more where you are at, but it says to be content, meaning you're not complaining about where you're at. Paul said that, remember over there in Philippians 4:11, he said, I have learned, whether I'm abased or abound, that in all things to be content.
That's right. Amen.
No matter what state I am,
yeah,
I am content. The reason why so many people, they don't get more is because they're not content or they're not grateful for what they have right now.
That's right.
Listen, when's the last time you thank God for the car you have right now?
Amen.
When's the last time you thank the Lord for the home you live in right now or the job that you have right now? Yeah, there might be something out there. There might be something better, but you're not going to have something better until you learn to be grateful for what you have now. Praise the Lord. Yep. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's absolutely right. See, because pride destroys contentment.
Yes.
Yep. Contentment. And this is where we'll build on this, is when people are never happy with what is in front of them. They never praise God where they're at. They always think that it's going to take something else, something new to fulfill them. Have you ever known anybody, or have we ever been that person that is never satisfied no matter what new car you get, no matter what new, you know, clothing you get or new watch or new, you know, whatever it is you enjoy? You just keep jumping from one new thing to the other, hoping that it's going to fill you up. It won't. Praise the Lord for new things. But those are just a byproduct. They are not the bullseye.
Yeah, good, Pastor.
You understand that? People that are unfulfilled, you know? No thing ever fulfills them. No relationship ever fulfills them, right? No vacation ever fulfills them. Just got to keep jumping from one thing to the next, because somewhere in your life, pride has destroyed contentment.
Yeah, good word.
You know you have pride if you're not great. You're not grateful. If you're an ingrate. Remember hearing that when you were a kid? Don't be an ingrate. Maybe I'm the only one that ever heard that. Oh, praise the Lord. A person with pride is never fulfilled, never grateful. You'll find out what a person is really made of when the money runs out. Oh, that one went out big. You'll find out what a person is really made of when the money runs out. Oh, you were praising God before. See, Paul said, I have learned. He said, I have had times where I'm abased and times when I'm abounding. Times when it looked like I had nothing, times when I was filled with prosperity. He said, but in all things I've learned this lesson, to be content no matter what situation I'm in.
Good word.
And you'll find out where you are as a Christian when the money runs out. Oh, it's easy to praise the Lord and worship God when it's coming in. But when it slows down or goes away, and all of a sudden you get offended, oh my goodness, it's pride. Amen. You getting some help here today?
Yes.
Well, let's go through this. We'll get ready to wrap it up right here, okay? Let's name real quick all the places that you and I thought it was all about us. All the places that we have in life, all right? And we'll just make this really, really quick. Your home is not about you. It's not about you. Everyone in your house, if they have to walk on eggshells around you, then you're in pride. I see a lot of fathers and dads like that. Everyone's scared when dad gets home. What? Why would you be scared when dad gets home? That should be a time of rejoicing and excitement. People say, well, I see my father's hands as instruments of pain. Well, that's too bad. They should see the father's hands as an instrument of love and tender affection. Your home is not about you. You don't let your attitudes and your King Kong mentality throw a dark cloud over everybody in that place. Coming home, you got a bad attitude, something happened at work. And listen, let me tell you something. Your wife and your kids, they don't know about it. It is unfair to let them bear the brunt of that. Listen, I'll tell you what, character and integrity leaves it at the workplace.
Yeah, good,
you take it to God and you forgive who you need to forgive, and you walk in that door and you love your wife, you love your kids.
Amen.
Say, well, you don't know what happened to me. Yeah, well, the Lord does.
Right.
And I know this, it wasn't your wife or your kids' fault.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Amen.
Listen, your home is not about you. Listen, our jobs, and we could say it this way, your marriage is not about you. Do you realize that when you stood at the altar, you basically threw your selfishness on the altar and you vowed never again to be selfish with your spouse? You sat there and you said, listen, my selfishness is now dead, and now my job in life is to see that you are fulfilled.
Good.
Marriages will be destroyed when it becomes all about them. You got to use the family's money on your stuff. Got to have it your way. Your opinion is the only one that counts. Your home is not about you. Your marriage is not about you. Here's another one. Your job is not about you. It is wrong to criticize and to insult your boss who is signing your paycheck. Yeah, you might have an unjust boss. You know, you might have a boss that doesn't do things right. You might have a downright evil boss. I don't know. Maybe all those things are true. But listen, you don't insult the one who's signing your paycheck. That is wrong. Your job isn't about you. Do you know that? Do you know you're not working for that paycheck? You're working to better a company. Yep. I told you the story. I believe it was about, I don't remember all the details, but there was a story about how it was either one of the Carnegies or the Rockefellers. You know, how many of you remember, you know, those names in the nation? I mean, big steel industry moguls. I mean, just huge, huge steel. The richest became in that time the richest men in the world. And one of them was talking about how he had no education and how he started. And he was working out literally on the railroad that was laying that steel. And he eventually became one of the richest people in the world. And they asked him, how'd that happen? And he said, listen, when I started working, he said, everyone around me was working for the paycheck. I was working for the company.
Yes. There's a difference.
There's a difference between working for the paycheck and working for the company. Listen, you don't work for that paycheck. You work for the company. Your job's not about you. And if you are the employer and if you are the executive, guess what? Still not about you. You don't take your company in a direction that's just going to benefit you. It's got to go in a direction that benefits everybody. The Bible says it's wrong to muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. There used to be a day in this country when employers prided themselves in the right way to pay their employees good wages. And we've seen how our economy has suffered because a bunch of greedy folks decided that they were going to make all the money while everyone else suffered. Pride and selfishness. Here we go. Your church is not about you. I might just start doing a little dance here. I'm preaching myself happy. Your church is not about you. Listen, in any of these places, your home, your job, your church, do you know this? Your preferences aren't important.
Right.
So, did he just say that? No, let me explain that. Listen, your preferences are not first place in your home. Your preferences are not first place in your job. Your preferences. Do you know we have a bunch of church hoppers in this community just running around from church to church? Oh, we go here for a couple years. Oh, we go here a couple years. And then we go here a couple years. And we go here a couple years. Do you really want to look back when you stand before Jesus and he turns around, you know, and you look at him and he says, okay, let's go through your life. Oh, my goodness. In 10 years, you went to 8 churches. Now, listen, there's a right way and a wrong way to find a church. Now listen, I'll tell you what, if a church stops feeding you the word, leave that place.
Sure.
If I stop feeding you the word or this church stops preaching the word, don't walk out of here, run.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so believe me, there's a lot of folks that have been in that situation. They got caught in a seeker-sensitive church and they needed to find a place that will preach the word of God. That's understandable.
Sure.
But I'm talking about, well, I go over here. You know what? I don't like the music here anymore. I'm going to go over here. You know, I really don't like the Sunday school here anymore. And then you go over here. Oh, I really don't like that. What are they doing? They're just running from one preference to another. Why? Because they got pride. Ouch. Ooh, ouch. Now, there's a right way and a wrong way. And listen, if you leave your church, you at least have the courage to sit down and look your pastor in the eye. You know what I mean? You sit down and you look your pastor in the eye. And you explain why you're doing that. Listen, I'm not saying that just to this church. I mean, we have people that visit from other churches and stuff like that. Well, praise the Lord, we love you and stuff like that. But family church is not where you go when you're offended at somebody. Now, if you felt like you weren't being fed the word, that's a different story. There's times when people have sat down with me and I say, well, have you talked to your pastor? Have you talked to your pastor?
Right.
All right? Because I know what it's like. And all of a sudden, you know, people you've loved for years and all of a sudden they're gone. Where'd they go? I was in that situation. I was called out of a local church to be part of this one, you know, 12, 13, 14 years ago, 15 years ago, and 14 years ago, right around there. And I remember, you know, knowing that I was just supposed to go to what was then this church, and it was obviously in Fredonia. And I had a wonderful relationship with my pastor at that time. Me and my wife, I mean, we weren't only saved for a year, and we still knew it would be wrong to just leave. We made an appointment. We sat down with our pastor. We said, this is what's on our heart. This is what we feel is best. And we left with his blessing. Yeah, he prayed for us as we left because he knew it was a plan of God to be somewhere else. And now we understand. You know, we had a role to play and whatever. And you don't just, well, I don't like, they played the wrong music today. Let's go somewhere else. That nursery worker was snotty today. They're not going to be snotty today, but you know what I'm saying. You know, things, listen, you're just running around hoping that you don't run into people. Meaning,
yeah, exactly.
You know, listen, anywhere you go, there's going to be people.
Yeah, exactly.
There's going to be someone somewhere. Your church is not about you. Well, they're doing that song. I didn't like that. We got to stop doing that song. Well, guess what? That song wasn't for you. It was for the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, it was too loud today, whatever. Well, there's times when you got to make adjustments like that. You know? Stop. You know, listen, how about we'll make an agreement together. We won't demand perfection. I won't demand perfection out of you if you don't demand perfection out of us. Because I'll tell you what, if you're looking for perfection, you're not going to find it. Let me tell you this. This is what happens when your pride gets hurt. Listen, you had expectations on somebody and they didn't meet it.
You're right.
Do you want the secret to enjoying life? Are you ready?
Yes.
This is it.
Yes.
Actually, why don't we just all publish a book and make millions and this is it. We found the secret to life. Here it is. Are you ready? Stop expecting anything from anybody.
Yeah.
Or you can say it this way, have no expectations on somebody.
Right.
Because when you have expectations on them, they're going to violate it.
Sure.
And I'm not talking about being a boss or being a leader and, you know, there's people serving in a job, you have to expect them to perform their duties. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about relational expectations where they might not think so high of you today. Okay? Listen, I say this about pastoring. I think it's just true in life. At any given time, you're a villain to someone and a hero to someone else.
Yeah, sure.
And guess what? Don't you ever dare live off criticism, and don't you dare live off praise.
That's right. Good word.
People can praise you, and oh, you're just... Well, don't live off that either. Don't live off the criticism either. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, well, let's wrap this up right here. Let's go through. I want to give you some scriptures. I'm going to give you some homework here. I want to show you now what happens when pride is unchecked. Go with me to Proverbs 11. Actually, if for the sake of time, we have a real keen overhead person back there, we could just bring these up on the screen. Bring up Proverbs 11:2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Here's the results if you don't make the corrections that we talked about. All right. Proverbs 15:25. Well, we love the book of Proverbs today. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. I don't like the sounds of that. I think you're going to go home and get that relationship right. I think you're going to learn, hey, I'm going to say I'm wrong. Yeah. Some people I've heard them say, I'll never say that. I'm not saying that to them. Pride. Pride. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. How can God bless an abomination? He can't. Yep. And notice it says this, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Pride will not go unpunished. You're going to lose something.
You're
going to get in pride. You're going to lose something. Think you're the best? You're going to lose something. Stir up strife? You're going to lose something. Complain about what you're getting paid? You're going to lose something. Come on. Proverbs 16:18, right there in the same chapter. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You walk around thinking, I don't need this. I don't need to be corrected. I'm better than that. Destruction's coming. A fall is coming. Might not happen today or tomorrow, but it's going to happen unless you get it right. And that fall could not just affect you. It can affect your family. It can affect your kids. I'm almost done here. Hang with me. It's 6 minutes after noon. Oh, dear. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low. And when the Bible says you're low, you're low. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Notice pride and honor are totally opposite of each other. Come on now. A man's pride shall bring him low. And you could even add a words in here that would be true. A man's pride shall bring him low financially.
Yes.
A man's pride shall bring him low, obviously, spiritually, financially, physically, mentally, relationally. A man's pride shall bring him low. Don't be that person. Listen, if you want to be promoted God's way, it's through humility. Stop thinking you're something so special. You know, I've had people literally tell me, there was someone here that was at this church for more than 2 years. They even served on worship team. They served, I mean, this was a while ago, back when we were still in that building. This was several years ago. They were serving in worship team. They were serving in the church and everything. And one day, they just stopped showing up. I said, oh, what happened to them? You know, my goodness. So I placed a phone call and said, hey, how are you? Is everything okay? Yeah, we're okay. We left the church. I'm like, oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that. Did something offend you? Did I do something? Please share with me. As a pastor, I want to know. I want to help you. And they said, well, the reason why we left the church is because no one sent us a card. I said, a card? Like a birthday card? Like a gift card? No one sent you a card. I said, wait. I mean, honestly, I did not understand what they meant. I said, a card? What do you mean by that? A card. We've been in the church for 2 years. No one sent us a card. A card for what? Oh, just a I'm thinking about you card. I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. You mean you were serving God in a visible ministry? And you leave a church because they didn't send you a greeting card? By 2 years, you better be sending greeting cards. Listen, it's not about you. We all have that opportunity. That's not just the pastor's job. And I'm not going to set up some kind of church institution for people to be nice to each other. We should do that automatically. And I asked this person, I said, how many cards did you send to people? Well, no one's friendly. No one comes up to us in church and says hi. My mind says, well, I know that's not true. I've seen people. Anyway, I'm not going to defend it. I said, oh, really? I said, well, how many people have you approached? How many people have you been friendly to? Well, I haven't approached anybody. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, it says, he that will have friends must show themselves to be friendly. Never forget this. You know the saying around here, be the faucet, not the drain. You know what the faucet is? The faucet wants to pour out. The drain is the part that just expects everything to come to it. And the people that are the most draining in life are the ones like, no one came to me. Listen, stop trying to get the blessing. Start being the blessing. Hallelujah. What was that? Pride. Pride. Pride, pride, pride. You get some help today? Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. Father, we